few minutes to just share with one another what, any victories or prayer requests, heartaches. What? What's her name, Danette, again?
The baby, Peyton.
Peyton. Anyone else? Let's just join our hearts in prayer for these requests. We'll start out with Danette and Peyton. Lord, I just thank you that you've opened this this wide door for Danette to minister to Peyton and her parents, Lord. And Father, I just pray an anointing on Danette that she'll just continue to be faithful in that and not get discouraged. She'll see this as in the long haul, that this is a big long-term commitment, and we just ask you to strengthen her and prepare her for it in Jesus' name. And Isaac, Lord, I just pray that these social workers and doctors and people that are working with him, that they'll be ones that have a a heart for him, a compassion for him, an understanding, and that he'll sense that there's someone that that loves him and really cares about him and what happens to him, Lord. And Father, we just pray that he'll come through this and out of this a new person. And Father, just thank you for having your hand upon him and his life, Lord. And Father, we just lift up the George family, that just keep them safe and well. Father, I just pray that no one else in the family will get sick, that it'll just stop with Elise. And we want to lift up the families and the community in Uvalde, Texas, Lord God. And what a tragic evil thing that happened there. Lord, just pray your comfort for everyone that needs comfort, and your wisdom for the school, the leaders in the school, the police, everyone there, Father, that they won't let this happen again, that they'll see what things went right and what things went wrong, and they be able to prevent this in the future. And Father, we lift up the terrible war in Ukraine, Lord, the evil war there. Father, just pray that you bring that to an end, a quick end, Lord God, and just protect all the innocent people that are involved with that, Lord. And just bring it to an end, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's see, at this time, I guess we call for David in the announcements, right? And sometimes when it's low enough for me to talk into it, I can't see my notes. Did you start the recording?
The recording started, yeah.
Okay.
But the slides are really nice on my end.
Did you start the slideshow? I think I'll just have you do it instead of messing with the clicker here. The picture that you see there is actually a picture of the ruins of Laodicea. So that's kind of what it looks like today. So let's go to the next slide. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold, refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, And Sav, to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Before I get into what Laodicea was like, just mention something on this verse about standing at the door and knocking. A lot of times we use that as a kind of precursor to bringing someone to the Lord. And I think that's valid. But in this case, he is talking to a church. So these are probably believers. But they're lukewarm and they've kind of said, we don't need you, God, because we can take care of everything ourselves. But he's still there knocking at the door. And we need to see that in our lives, too. I know I think of myself as a Christ follower, but I don't always do that. We had hail damage on our house from this last storm, and I called someone to come in to inspect the roof, and they didn't need to inspect the sidings. I could see the holes there, but not the roof. And what I should have done is before I called anyone, I should have prayed and just asked God for wisdom on who to call. And I didn't do that. I failed to do that. So I'm, in some ways, kind of like this church in Laodicea. So I had to repent of that. But anyway, so what was this city really like? It's said to be, if not the, one of the most wealthy churches in Asia, or cities, I'm sorry, in Asia at that time. So they are a very wealthy city. They were located on the trade routes. They had a huge banking center and just a lot of wealth going through there. And they had these sheep that produced lustrous black wool, which they wove into much desired black clothing. And this was expensive and just something that was wanted, everybody wanted. They also had a very well-known medical center, and one of the things, primary part of it was their ophthalmology, their eye doctors. And they had this special salve that would heal a lot of the eye illnesses. And the last thing is they didn't have a good water supply, so they had to pipe water in from about 6 miles away. And it came from a hot springs. So by the time it got to the city, it was lukewarm. So I've always thought this was interesting. Here's a city. They're very wealthy, but God calls them poor. They have a medical center that really is doing a lot to help eyes, and he calls them blind. And they're a wealthy, very wealthy city. He calls them poor. And he says they need to cover their shameful nakedness, yet they make clothing that's what, you know, people all over that known world at that time wanted. So it's kind of interesting, the contrast with what they were in the natural and what they were spiritually. So what did he have against them? He said first that they were lukewarm, and secondly, that you say you are rich, have acquired wealth, and don't need a thing. That last one, I think, is a real zinger. They say they don't need a thing. And, you know, we as Americans have to be careful with that because we are independent. We're independent folk. And we need to see that we need God. We really need God. In Mark 4:19, I don't think I have that up there, it says, but the worries of this world of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things came in and choked the word, making it unfruitful. And this is from the parable of the sower. So they really fell under that. These other things choked off the word in their lives. But so the scripture said, you don't realize that you're wretched and pitiful. And I think that goes along with being lukewarm. You're poor, even though it's a wealthy city. You're blind, even though they have this eye salve. And you're naked, even though they have a clothing industry. So what's he say? He said, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, white clothes to wear, and salve to put on your eyes. So let's take a look at each one of these. What's this mean? What's gold refined in fire? You know, he wants us to really have the true riches. And I like the song we sang, Surrender All to Jesus, because I think that's a big part of what we need to do here. We need to surrender to God's refining in our lives. Zechariah says, this third I will put into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. So God is refining them like gold is refined. And I believe that's what he means when he says, buy from me gold. Let me refine you. I've got a couple other verses here that also pertain to this. In Psalm 1, 6, and 7, it says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And then finally in Isaiah 48:10, see, I have refined you, though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And I think we're really going through that testing now, both as a nation, as a church of Jesus Christ in this nation, and it's God is refining us. We're going to come out of this better than we went into it. So the next part is, he wants us to buy white clothes to wear to cover our shameful nakedness. White always speaks of purity or righteousness. And, you know, we're told to put on righteousness. In Isaiah 61:10, it says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And Galatians 3:27 says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And Psalm 132:9 says, may your priests be clothed with your righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy. So we it's almost like we put on righteousness like a robe or clothing, or we put on Christ like a robe. And then the last thing he had against them was the, he said, go buy salve for your eyes so you can see. And I think a big part of this is just opening our hearts to his word, to him. Like, even when we're in here and we're listening to music and singing praises to him, sing to him. Don't just sing because, you know, it's a beautiful song and you enjoy singing it, but purpose to sing to God, sing to him. And when you read the word, pray before, every time you read it, pray and just ask him to reveal his word to you. And these are the kinds of things that open your eyes. Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 says, he said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. You know, this just speaks to keep your heart tender towards God. Don't let your heart get callous. And turn your heart to him. Purpose to do that. And finally, in summary, where the lukewarmness, what can we do about that? Second Timothy 1, 6, and 7, it talks about fanning the flame. And Paul is speaking to Timothy and says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And I would add to that also, read your Bible daily. Bring that word. You know, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Father. And just think of that. I know there is a story, I think it was from a new convert had told this to a missionary, but talking about, he said, it feels like there's two dogs inside me fighting. And, you know, one of them's God's Spirit and one of them's our old self. And so he was asked then, well, what do you do about that? He said, I feed the one I want to win. But I think that's so good, you know, feed yourself spiritually. Secondly, what do we do about being poor? And here we surrender to God's discipline. We let God refine us. And a really good scripture here is Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. So just see sometimes when you're being disciplined by God, that it's because he loves you. And something I've learned, God's discipline never has any condemnation with it. It always has an edification, something that will build you up. He never condemns you. And that's how you know it's God's discipline and not the enemy trying to condemn you. And then what do we do about nakedness, the shameful nakedness? We seek God's righteousness. In Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things, all the things you need, will be added to you. And then finally, what do we do about being blind? We open our hearts to receive God's wisdom and understanding. And I think here is where it's really important to keep our hearts soft and humble towards God, and not let your heart get callous or hard. And sometimes, you know, something will happen that isn't fair, and we'll get really upset about that, or we'll get mad at God, and we need to just guard our heart and try to keep our heart soft towards God and humble. Amen. Oh, great. Yes. Yeah. Let me close with a doxology from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen. Mm-hmm.